You to turn into the Bible, turn in the scripture to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Luke 2, 8 through 20. In the Bible, in the chair in front of you, that is on page 857. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Hear the word of God. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. This is the word of God. Praise be to God. Let's go to him now and ask his blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you that you in your love and in your mercy have sent your Son into this world. We pray that the good news of great joy would not be lost on us tonight. I pray that we would learn to glorify you and enjoy you forever and ever and ever. Stir within us a hunger to know you, to experience life-changing joy and peace that only the gospel, only the good news of Christ can provide. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Tonight we're looking at how you can have real joy and peace in your life. We are doing that by examining and investigating a familiar story. Perhaps if you've been to church around Christmas time, you've heard this story before. We're going to look at the shepherds, and we're going to ask the question, how do you have real joy and peace with God? The answer that God provides in this text is that through simple faith in a personal message of a humble Savior, you can have real joy. Through simple faith and a personal message of a humble Savior, you can have real, lasting joy. We'll look at each one of those in turn. Simple faith, personal message, and a humble Savior. It's on your outline in the bulletin. So first, simple faith. On July 22nd of 2013... there was a sign placed outside of Buckingham Palace announcing the birth of Prince George Alexander Louis, otherwise known as the Prince of Cambridge. He was the oldest child of Prince William, Duke of Cambridge, and Catherine, Duchess of Cambridge. That day, immediately upon the arrival of the child, the doctors signed a notice, and the proclamation was rushed from the delivery room outside of the gates in Buckingham Palace And displayed there were spectators and reporters were eagerly waiting to jot down the details. And the news was immediately broadcast throughout the world, on radio, on television, in print, on the web. Luke is giving us a royal birth announcement, even greater than the announcement of the Prince of Cambridge, Prince George. Something has happened. A child has been born, the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, the Savior of the world. Who is it that God sends this news to first? To shepherds? Out in a field? That's who gets the message? Why is it that God would send the message of this announcement to them, to shepherds in a field? If you know anything about shepherds, they are not, or were not, the most respected or civilized people. In fact, I was reading this week about them. One commentator said that they lived out in the fields and they were unable to keep the ceremonial law. They were treated as unclean. They were also regarded as liars and thieves, which is why their testimony was inadmissible in the court of law. Shepherds, he says, were despised. Now get this, with the exception of lepers, shepherds were the lowest class of men in Israel. So why is it that God would send this royal birth announcement to the lowest class of men in Israel besides lepers? The answer I believe that this text gives is to show that the gospel of the good news is relevant to you. No matter what your position in life is, no matter what your background is, no matter what your job is, no matter where you've been in life, no matter what you've done in life, the good news is meant and relevant to your life. It shows us it's not the circumstances in your life that give you joy and peace. I had a friend this week tell me, we were talking about Christmas, he said, "Ryan, this time of year is such a sad time for me because I never had a family, a father and a mother who loved me and wanted to celebrate Christmas together as a family. And every time this time of year rolls around, I am terribly sad." It is very tempting for us, regardless of where you have been, to think that our circumstance in life makes the gospel, the good news, irrelevant. To think that if only I had a better, you name it, if I had a better job, or if I had a better family life, if I had been raised differently, if I had been given more money in my job, then the good news would actually bring joy and peace into my life this time of year. But you know what? My circumstances in life just make the gospel irrelevant. The circumstances of your life are the particular way that God has called you to put your trust in Him. So that if you are a shepherd out in a field in Bethlehem during the first century, you're to put your hope in a Savior. You're to put your hope and someone who is infinitely rich, even though you are poor. If you've grown up without a family or without a real father, the good news for you is that God is the ultimate father. And the peace of God comes to those who in any circumstance know that they need a Savior, know that they need someone to rescue them from their own sin. That's exactly what the shepherds were waiting for. You notice the peace and the joy that they have? You look with me in verse 15. They say, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And then they investigated. In verse 16, it says, "With haste they went to see this good thing, to see this Savior. When they saw it, they made known to other people the saying that had been told to them." It ends by saying that the shepherds were glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. Do you have that kind of joy in your life over the good news of this birth announcement? Do you have that kind of joy? You will have joy in your life to the extent that you rely and know your need of Christ, of the Savior. I'd like to suggest there are actually two common ways that you can miss the joy that God has for you. And one common way is to think that I'm beyond the scope of God's grace, that this news isn't really good for me because my circumstances, my background, for whatever reason, I've suffered too much, I've been through too much. The news is not good for me. I'm beyond the scope of God's grace. That's one way to miss it. Here's another way to miss it. To think, well, I'm beyond the need of God's grace. You know, this good news is meant for other people who don't actually live according to good works, don't actually do good things. But I'm a pretty good person, and I've lived a pretty good life. And if God were to look on me, he would see that I'm a pretty good person. And so the idea of a Savior, I don't really need a Savior. That's another way to miss it in your life. If either one of those is you, it will ultimately steal the joy of your life, in your life. Because if you think you're beyond the scope of God's grace, then you'll be caught up in your problems and your life. You'll be self-absorbed. You'll miss it. If you think you're beyond the need of God's grace, well, then you'll think I'm self-reliant, and you'll become proud of who you are, not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The message is for needy sinners who know they deserve nothing from God, but they are seeking a Savior. And the message is given to these shepherds to show that it is not the self-reliant, self-sufficient, independent people that God blesses and sends his grace and joy. It is actually people who know they are in desperate need of grace. That's the people that God gives a message of hope. Simple faith that God rewards. Simple faith. But what did these shepherds have faith in? What were they given? They were given a personal message. I want to focus your attention on two words. These two words are very easily missed. I actually heard a pastor talk about this passage recently. And he drew my attention to the fact that when we read this birth announcement, it's so familiar if you've been to church before that you miss the words "unto you" in verse 11. If you notice, who is it that this child is born to? It says "unto you." Unto these shepherds? Really? If I were to give you a birth announcement, our daughter was born about a little over a year ago. If I were to send you a birth announcement, it would probably say, November 21st, 2016, unto Ryan and Rachel was born Amelia Arlena Heaton. You know, 7 pounds, 2 ounces, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But that's not what this birth announcement says. It says that this child is born to you. And that means that this Savior is given to you. This announcement is addressed to you personally. That God would send His Son into the world for you. So that by believing in Him, you would have everlasting life. Jesus said, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So this message is personal to you. And the details that are given are meant to give you hope and peace and joy. Look at the details with me. This child is going to be born in the city of David. That would have been reassuring, or that would have caused a stir of hope and longing in these shepherds, because for generations and generations, it was promised that a king would come in the line of David to sit upon his royal throne and to redeem his people, to redeem God's people once and for all. In fact, the psalmist says in Psalm 130, verse 8, that God himself will redeem Israel. God will redeem Israel. The angel is saying that this is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This is the promised one, the one that the psalmist was looking for, the one that the prophets were looking for, the one that everyone has been looking for since the fall of Adam. He's going to make a final offering for your sin. He's going to bring peace on earth. Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace among those with whom He is pleased. Now, when we think about peace, often we think about singing Christmas carols and getting a warm, fuzzy feeling inside on a Christmas day. But the peace that is talked about here is not primarily a feeling that you get. The peace is not primarily your own happiness. The peace that's talked about here in this passage is peace between God and men. It means to be put right with God, that your sins will have been pardoned. The Bible tells us that each one of us is born into sin. All of us have sinned. There's war, there's hostility between God and men because of our sin. But this Savior came for the very purpose of putting an end to that war, that hostility. And so there's peace. That's the same peace that if you read Colossians 1, verse 20, Paul says, Christ has made peace by the blood of his cross. That's the peace that he's talking about here. Peace between God and men. A final end of hostility. A final putting away of your sin. Taking the punishment upon himself. This past week, I watched a video by a man named David Wood. He was, in his early years, in his childhood, he hated everyone around him. He was diagnosed with antisocial disorder. In fact, he was called a sociopath. He ended up trying to, this is a true story, you can look it up. He tried to kill his father, and he was sentenced to 10 years in prison. During his time in prison, he had a friend share with him the good news. And during his time in isolation, he was reading from the book of John. John chapter 10, when Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He'll go in and out and find pasture. And the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. When he read that, it changed his life. And he put his faith in Christ. He would serve out the rest of his sentence. He was released. Then he would graduate college get married, get a PhD, now has four kids, and he lives, as far as I know, a normal, healthy life. But the root of it all was there was a hostility between him and God. And it took the circumstances of prison and the gospel coming to him through the book of John to actually end that hostility. When he put his faith in Christ, he was changed. See, at root, it was with God. His hostility was with God. But after that hostility ended, he had peace, not only with God, but with those around him. Do you know that the message is addressed to you? Is there a hostility in your life to those around you that's ultimately to God, against God? The degree that Christ is honored in your life will be the degree that you have peace. Peace with God and peace with those around you. The degree that he is honored in your life. So do you have that kind of peace? The last key to having real joy in your life, not just simple faith, not just recognizing that the message is addressed to you, but it's faith in a humble Savior. A humble Savior. I want you to imagine the scene with me. If you are a shepherd, you're out tending your sheep one night when suddenly out of nowhere, miraculously, a huge angel shows up and the glory of God shines around you. This angel tells you that a child has been born. Good news, great joy. A Savior is born. He's Christ, the Lord. This is going to be the sign. What do you think at that point, if you were a shepherd, what do you think the sign would be? If you were to just put the click pause right there. Because I would expect that the sign would be, we have this child. He's being born in a royal palace. He's protected by guards, military guards. He's under tight security. We've got a wonderful place and plan for his life, full of military victory, full of worldly honor, the best education. He's going to be a great hero. He's going to rise up and restore the fortunes of Israel. That would be the sign that I would have expected if I were a shepherd. Here's the sign that they get. A baby is wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. In other words, this King of Kings, this Prince of Peace, this Savior of the world, who's God himself, has come in a very ordinary, very unexceptional way. In fact, this is the way that poor, lower class families would have children. If a child was born in similar circumstances today, we would say that that child is at risk. That child is underprivileged and vulnerable to disease, vulnerable to all sorts of terrible things. That was the way that this King of Kings came into the world. Notice with me how the shepherds respond. They respond by receiving the unexceptional, ordinary way in which this King of Kings was brought to them. In other words, they received the real Jesus, not the Jesus that met all their expectations about what the King of Kings would be like. They accepted the ordinary way in which he came. I wonder if you are waiting for a Jesus that meets all of your expectations. Are you waiting for someone, a Savior, who would lead you to immediate pleasure in your life, would fulfill all of your greatest desires, who would fulfill all of your lusts for worldly success? It's So we tend to think that is what is going to give us peace and joy in life. A leader who's going to lead me to the things I want. That's not the Savior they were given, and that's not the Savior they embraced. Have you received the ordinary, humble way that Jesus is given to you and presented to you in your life? Because the ordinary, humble way he's presented to you is through the Word of God. A very ordinary way that the Lord, the real Jesus, is given to you. Now, I've talked to people who say, if only God had given me a sign in my life telling me what he wants to do, wants me to do in life. If only I had seen an angel. You know, sometimes people are given messages in the Bible by great messengers. But the focus is not on the angels. The focus here is on this child who is born in a manger. This humble, humble way. See, they got a message from an angel, but we get a book. We get a book. But do you know that Peter will actually say that angels long to look into what we have? Angels long to look into the Old and the New Testaments that give testimony of this Savior. That's what we have. We are seeing God's plan of salvation, and it's given to us in his word in a very humble means, but a very powerful, life-changing, joy-giving, peace-instilling word. Is that word enough for you? Or are you waiting for Jesus to show up in your life in some spectacular kind of way? When we take our eyes off the Word of God, then we take our eyes off the real Jesus. And as a result, if we do that, there will not be real joy in our life. There won't be real lasting peace and hope. Why did the Son of God, in all of his power and all of his glory, has existed for eternity, why did he come down into this world and was born in a manger, a very humble way? Why was it that he would endure the most humiliating and terrible circumstances far worse than you or I will ever receive? Why would he be crucified, go without the peace of God, have the wrath of God come down on him, be abandoned by his closest companions? Why would he go through all of that? It has to be so that you personally would experience the life-changing salvation that he provides. That you could have peace with God, the forgiveness of sins, through faith in him, through trust in him, a savior. That you could have joy, whatever your circumstances, whether or not this holiday season you feel all warm and fuzzy inside. So that you could have home and a fellowship with God. That you could have the ultimate Father who will never abandon you. Because Christ was forsaken. And you won't be. But you have to accept the humble way, the ordinary way, that he comes to you in the Word of God. Because that's the real Jesus. Are you staring at the real Jesus in the Word? Real hope and joy is found through simple faith and a personal message that's addressed to you of a humble Savior who died, who came into this world, died for you and rose again. Put your faith in the real Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we confess that we often want the Lord Jesus Christ to come into our life and to be presented to us in a spectacular way that meets all of our greatest desires. We confess that the expectations that we have of you often are sinful. And often we think that real joy and peace will come when you give us exactly what we want and you come into our life in the exact way that we want you to. But that's not the way that Jesus was sent into this world. And we pray that you would give us faith in the real Savior that is given to us in a humble and ordinary way in the Word of God. I pray for those, Lord, who do not know you, whether in here in this church tonight or those out in our community. Lord, may they see the saving work of Christ and be drawn in to this humble Savior who has experienced death for us so that we may no longer die, but be forgiven of our sins and enjoy peace, life, and hope forevermore. I pray too, as we consider the ways in which you have been faithful to us in the past, I pray as we prepare our hearts to give what you have moved us to give, that we would testify to your saving work in our life. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In a moment, we will sing Infant Holy, Infant Lowly. It is hymn 216. Hymn 216, Infant Holy, Infant Lowly. Will the ushers please come forward to receive the offering?